Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Ramble Arounds and Rich Bergeron.
Yo, happy to all my peeps. This is the Tornado, Tony Bennekamp.
We get another edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We have no guests, so we're going to do a blowout New Year's show here. Going to go quickly through the news. It's really not a whole lot to discuss. The big UFC fight, of course, Lesnar versus Overeem. Didn't make it around. Supposed to have Jim Hedges on the show tonight, but didn't find out until like 2 days ago that his management team wasn't who I thought it was. I thought we already had him locked up and everything. But he won on the undercard against Nate the Fan, and we'll work on it, but an undefeated guy, just been running through the competition. Dan Fan is a tough dude. He was in the Ultimate Fighter series. And this kid just romped over. Would have been a great guess, but he fell through, and I kind of didn't scramble to get that replacement. But he is 10-0, Nishin's one decision, and that was just a Dan Fan just this last week. It's his second UFC victory. And of course, Overeem and Brock Lesnar was a little bit of a bump war at the beginning, but it turned out Lesnar knew what it took to strike with Alistair. And he says he's now from MMA, at least in the UFC. So he's going to end up back with the WWE, but leave it to Dana White to be a dick about it. He said the day after the fight, oh, he's still under contract.
Yeah, you know what, I mean, obviously I did hear the WWE rumors. I did not see the fight, but I did hear, you know, about the beating that he took, you know, that smash pretty good. Then he, retired immediately afterwards. And then, of course, you know, like, it kicked, you know, the WWE rumors. But like I said months ago, and this is not even counting, you know, Dana White saying, you know, fuck that ain't going to happen. You know, you look at it like along these lines. You know, first of all, I do it personally than anything. The reasoning is, you know, I mean, he did the WWE for a while, but then he kind of trashed it pretty badly on his way out. So I don't know how his relationship even is with Vince McMahon.
Well, there's still one. They're in video games, so they got to get his signature for that, I'm sure.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I mean, he is in the video game, which of course leads, you know, more speculation. Then he had the whole thing with The Undertaker, you know, a year or so ago.
Want to do it?
Yeah, want to do it? Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah. And apparently there's been some bad blood between them. But now here's the thing. I mean, I'm sure they could try to kind of capitalize on that like they did back years ago with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, two guys that, you know, didn't necessarily like each other. So it was very believable because these are two guys that didn't like each other. So the fans would obviously buy them, you know, having a feud against each other. But here's the problem. Both of them were legitimate professional wrestlers, both Michaels and Hart. Brock Lesnar is coming from where he was doing, you know, the mixed martial arts, UFC. So for him to take that step back into professional wrestling, it wouldn't be like the same like Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock made the transition, you know, years ago. This would be different, and I don't think Brock will do it. The way he's trashed them, for one. And I just can't see it happening, to be completely honest.
We'll see. He says he's retired.
Before I do anything, I'll stand up something or other on my TV. It was pissing me off. I had the hockey game on, and this little whatever piece of link on my TV, I kept thinking it was the puck.
Yeah, you got to stick to hockey now that you can't root for your football team, huh?
Yeah, it sucks, you know? Shut up. Get out of that equation.
Yeah, I'll be in the same mood in a few weeks, I think. I don't know if the Patriots are going to make it all the way this year.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm rooting for a Denver versus Detroit Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Why not?
You're a Tebow guy?
You know what? Hey, the guy knows how to make money.
Yeah, I tried to get John Greenberg, the football expert, on again tonight, too. But that fell through. But we'll talk about the playoffs next week.
Well, I think Tino is a good one. But he knows how to win. And more importantly, he knows how to make money.
Most importantly, is the question, is Jesus on his side?
Apparently, not according to Bill Maher, he's not. Bill Maher's an idiot. I had watched some like movies from back in like, the 80s and shit that Bill Maher was in. I'm like, man, this guy's pretty funny or whatever. You know, I never really thought much about him. Then about 7 or 8 years ago, I'm flipping through HBO. Hey, Bill Maher. I'm like, I remember him being pretty funny. And then everything was, was political shit. And it wasn't even like educated. It was, opinion. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, Rich. I so rarely am, because I'm intelligent. But I don't get who you are. I don't care if you're a celebrity or whatever. Just because you're a celebrity and you're on TV and you make a hell of a lot more money than I do, I don't give a shit what your political opinion is. And I don't think if you're a celebrity, you should use your fame to try and to do that.
So how about your buddies almost winning in Iowa, Pennsylvania dude, Sam Tucker?
What was that?
Do you have any thoughts on the Iowa caucus there, buddy? In your
I heard follow it.
Yeah, we don't talk politics much on the show, do we? There is a political story that I did want to mention, though, this week, because it involves boxing. I know we're going a little far back here, but remember the Marquez versus Pacquiao fight?
What was that? You broke up on me.
The Marquez versus Pacquiao fight?
Oh, of course.
Well, there was some writing on the Marquez. And apparently it's undone the entire election in Mexican states. Juan Manuel Marquez's use of the logo of Mexico's Institutional Revolutionary Party on his boxing shorts was ruled unconstitutional. And I guess he wore the shorts in Vegas. And that took place in voters' one state. President Felipe Calderon.
That's another thing, that I kind of have a little bit of a problem with. I understand you want to support somebody or whatever, but don't blow it in my face. I don't mind fighters that, have endorsements, with Budweiser. They had a Budweiser, Oscar De La Hoya for years. I have a Budweiser logo on his trunks. Bernard Hopkins used to do the goldandcasino.com or whatever it was on his back. Four other guys used to do it. So shit like that never really bothered me. But these things for political reasons, though.
Yeah. Well, in other news, we had just one. Another boxing match. This time it actually went the distance.
Really?
Knocked anybody out.
I didn't see that he was fighting, but it went the full rounds, I assume?
Yep. And a guy named Charles Hackman. He's a fitness trainer. And so he just went toe-to-toe with the whole four rounds.
If Kevin wants to be, that's obviously the best thing that could happen to him having to go the distance. Because, 10-second knockouts, that's not realistic. And, you know, when you fight somebody that's going to try to drag you in the deep end and drown you, I'm still never saying that Tim is going to beat a guy like that. And I'm not even talking about your big guys like your Klitschko's or guys like that. I'm talking about like your run-of-the-mill average guy. I don't know him beating or even challenging. And I said if I was managing Timbo's place right now, that was his promoter, I'd be bringing Mike Tyson's phone off the hook. A lot of money. And you met Tyson a few months ago. And you were saying, you know, he doesn't know what he wants to do. And that's the deal with that. Money's a match, right? I can guarantee you $15 million to play Kimbo. The fight is going to go about 45.
Tyson act.
Mike, he'd be 5 years old or whatever he is. I think he's even older than that. He's got to be around 40. He was born in what? Who knows? Doesn't matter. 66. Yeah, he'd be 46 this June. I still see him, you know, running right through Kendall. And you figure you got the young guys, I should say. You got young fans that remember Tyson in the Hangover. Then you got people our age that grew up there with Tyson in his prime. You got guys like my father that, you know, when Tyson was on HBO, he wouldn't miss it. What's the other people? What's the buy rate for that fight?
All right. Well, send him to over there. He can coach him. We'll see what happens. You get the $15 million together, you'll get it going, all right?
Dude, we get that fight signed, I'll work Tyson's corner. I'll referee. I'll work Kimbo's corner. I'll be the ring announcer, the judges. They won't need judges, but I'll be one. My guy would have to be those three guys that have an easy job.
Well, Kimbo won the fight 39-37. And if he doesn't run into Tyson anytime soon, he's probably going to keep padding that record. Speaking of the heavyweights and the Klitschko's, Klitschko and Valuev, if you wanted to. It was Hay and Valuev that were left if you wanted to fight. And now it's going to be Hay, I guess. Because Valuev says he's not going to appear in the ring in the next 5 years. He's been elected to the Russian parliament.
What?
Yep, he's in the Russian parliament. Says it's impossible to combine such a responsible job and serious preparations for the boots. So, I don't know if you ever found the Yeti and talked to him like he wanted to. So, a mission there to find the Yeti must have resulted in him saying, I'm going to quit boxing and go into politics. Get back to the UFC 141 card. I do want to mention some of the undercard bouts. They're pretty decent. We had Nate Diaz beat Tony by decision, back and forth. And Cerrone would knock Nate Diaz down with a lift, and then he just let him back up at the end. I don't give a stage. So Cerrone didn't want to do any kind of wrestling or jiu-jitsu. Throw bombs. You have to fight in the night for it, but wasn't all that entertaining to me anyway. Nate Diaz won by unanimous decision. Johnny Hendricks scored the up of the freaking night. Knocked out John Fitch with one punch to the chin. It was pretty unexpected. That the night. And Alexander Gustafsson beat Vladimir Machishenko by punches in the first round. Jim Eddies, as I mentioned earlier, we're probably going to have him on someday in the near future. Beat Dan Fran. Unanimous decision, Pearson beat Junior. Jr., Austin Seo by unanimous decision. Danny Kittle beat Anthony Njukwuani by split decision. Bong Hyun Kim beat Sean Pearson by decision. Unanimous again. And Jacob Volkman beat Efren Escudero by unanimous decision. And Diego Nunes beat Dave Perrion by unanimous decision. And did you get to watch the any of the boxing matches over the weekend, Tony?
What the hell was last weekend? Yeah, they had fights on Friday night. I was very impressed with Andre Brown. They had a couple of the guys make a comeback. And Andre Durrell looked good, man. I don't know if you saw that fight. He was... those overhands were brutal, man. Jermaine Taylor, I really didn't see a whole lot of Nicolau. I know they said it was kind of a premature stoppage. Taylor looked okay, not great. Durrell looked pretty awesome. Taylor, they said, looked okay, not great, but he did get the stoppage win. A little bit premature, but I didn't have energy for Saturday night. That's all I saw over the weekend.
I got to watch the fight, and Jessica was like literally three times smaller than he was. And it was very surprising to see him knock him out legitimately or come out on his feet, basically. It was a little bit of shame with the stoppage. I was booing at the TV. the ref really. Obviously, the guy was taking a beating, and it really wouldn't have mattered. Taylor would have won anyway, but definitely a stoppage situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
could have finished the fight. Well, we have the Showtime card this weekend. Actually, it's tomorrow night from California. Luis Ramos, 20-0 in bouts, fighting Raul Beltran, 25-5 routine knockouts for the USA lightweight title. It's a couple of lightweights. Michael Omar defeated 15-1, 9 knockouts. Figueroa is 13-10 knockouts on that card. Let's see what else we got coming up this weekend. We got a big fight over in Germany. Robin Krasniqi, 36-12, 16-2 knockouts KO at European light heavyweight. Other Thomas is fighting on that card. 7-1, 7 heavyweight. Fighting Simsek, who is 26-1 with 4. Let's see. We have a fight on Saturday in Mexico. Flyweights, 12 rounders. Edgar Sosa, who's 43-7, with 26 fighting Roylo Gomez, who's 13-7, 5 knockouts. I think I favor Sosa. Serbia. Well, really going on this week, Thursday. About it, there's a little bit of controversy there with as if there's any more of the Floyd Mayweather. Victor, we're concerned about this.
But they want Ortiz to go and testify about his own sportsman conduct.
So they might not license him in Nevada. He already said in the interview that he initially headbutting Floyd, trying to press. Oh boy.
Yeah, I saw that actually tonight. I logged up and I saw this for that.
Well, yeah, coming up for the next big event in MMA, I think, is UFC 142. That's on the 14th, so that's not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Here, real quick. It's going to be a real quick hit show. Within an hour, about less than 30 minutes, like dominoes. See, Aldo, and.
Related topic, but from a bunch of guys who used to do a lot of fighting. You know, I went last week when I had the outdoor Flyers game. I didn't get to go to the main game on, January 2nd, but I went to the alumni game. That's, the Broad Street Bullies play.
Mm-hmm.
It was outdoor at Citizens Bank Park. I know they had one at Fenway a couple years ago. It's unbelievable to watch a hockey game outside. It was really cool and seeing all the old timers playing and getting standing ovations that they deserve. Pretty cool. And it kind of invoked my Broad Street Bully in me this week. As we all know, I don't know if any of my coworkers are listening tonight, but I don't give a shit. I'm into the show. Has been great recently where I'm employed at. Morale is down, and kind of needling us a little bit more. They're just trying to stick it to us. And I was saying, they've been pushing me. Last night, I was like, you know what? I said, I wish somebody would just set the place on fire. I'll come and show up with some marshmallows. And two of the coworkers were like, oh, man, be careful saying something like that. I'm like, I don't give a shit. You know, I'll say what I want to say. I'm a very outspoken person. So today, I called the one boss up on the road, and he kind of gave me an attitude. Well, I snapped on him, and I gave him an attitude right back, told him off, and hung up the phone on him. A little bit later, he's like, hey, buddy, can you help me out with this? So now I'm his buddy. You know how it is. Well, to make it even better, I went in to talk to the other boss. I was like, yo, you do got a problem? I don't think so. I said, well, you know what? He pushed me, and I don't like it. I said, you tell that big fucking baby here. Yes, I called him a baby here, and I might need a diaper on his desk tomorrow. I said, Baby Huey keeps the fuck up. I said, I'm going to twist his head right the fuck off. I said, you got to understand something. You guys see me as a nice guy. Don't mistake my niceness for weakness, you know? I said, the badass still resides there. I said, hey, on the outside, I'm like a golden retriever. You know, as we all know, I'm partial to goldens. I said, I'm like a golden retriever. You know, I'm very friendly. I'm very loyal. You know, I'm a very easygoing, laid-back kind of guy. I said, but that pit bull is still inside me. And I said, anybody that's ever seen me fight knows what I'm talking about. I put guys in the hospital. I've broken guys' noses. You know, it was business. Had to be done. You know, and these are guys that I like. I fought a guy named Phil Small, and I fought him back in 1996. We kicked each other's asses. And a friend of mine, I like Phil a lot. He's a nice guy. And, you know, he and I, we were still bullshitting the next year, you know, we were the one scrimmage together. I kicked this one guy's ass from Naval Academy. He kicked this guy's ass from wherever he was from, I don't remember, Kentucky or somewhere. And we were bullshitting with each other. 3 weeks later, me and Phil got a fight up in New York. and I hit Phil with a left hook right hand, and he staggered, and he was going down. Now, here's a person that I personally like as a human being, was going down, and he's trying to catch his balance. I leaped in with another left hook and just missed him. If I had a chance to knock him unconscious, I was going to. The pit bull, the nastiness, still is, it's still in there. And I've been working out a lot again, and I feel pretty good with it. You know, I don't do the boxing every night now. I'm doing a little bit more low weight, high reps. I feel pretty good with it.
Go toe to toe on May 19th at Battle of the Badges 4.
We might have to. I don't know. But I feel pretty good. You know, I've been hitting the bag again. I'm going to start training guys again. I should, you know, this one cute girl tonight, see if she wants to start training with me. But I'm also doing a little weightlifting. You know, I'm not trying to become Schwarzenegger here. But I'm, you know, just keeping the muscles strong. I had done a little bit of weightlifting before I was doing the trees this year, because last year I had some problems with my back really bothering me after I'd been doing all that tree lifting. So I said, you know what? Let me prepare myself better this year. So I did a lifting program for a couple weeks going into it, and you know what? It helped. And now I'm just keeping maintaining with that. You know, the neck and the arms, and I feel good. And then I, you know, every other night. And it's good that I'm not doing it every night, because my hands do get swollen. And my hands do get sore. Thanks to the concrete head of Brian Kerr back from 1998. I don't think my hands have ever recovered from that fight. That was your boy.
Yeah.
I should have jabbed him. I wanted to, but he was so easy to hit. That was the problem. You know, I could have jabbed him, boxed him, and laughed. But he was so easy to hit. It was so tempting. I just didn't know his head was going to be that hard.
That's what happened. Yeah, I just got my boxing set up back up again, and doing the lumberjack workout, and I literally went back to the tree that broke my ankle today, and I cut it into a fucking million pieces, so it's not going to break me again. I broke it. I'm ahead about 90 limbs to one now. It's broken.
Yeah.
So, I'm definitely taking the knee seriously, getting back in shape, and got all the boxing gear here and ready to go. I found my sauna suit top the other day.
Nice. I just got a new one. I bought it for myself for Christmas.
I gotta lose the weight now.
Oh, hold on. Santa gave it to me. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. I'm up to the whopping 240 now. I'm heavyweight. I'm definitely ready to fight Riddick Bowe.
The question is, when are you ready to fight Butterbean?
Oh, never. It's too bad. You won't fight again.
Yeah. So you're up to 240. Yeah, Kevin, when you were training a couple years ago, you said you were down to about 2.
Yeah. Or 90.
Like you moved below that, you know? Yeah, you definitely got to start pumping the guns again.
I got to cut off my leg or do something.
I'm saying, when I had to make 155 that time, back in, 97, fighting at 165, and I was really having a hard time making it. And at the time, I had a fancy looking mullet going. I was a stubbly guy. I loved my mullet. And the first day, I really struggled, and I made the weight. And I mean, I made it by, I mean, a fifth of an ounce or something. You know, I mean, I barely made it. I mean, I was on the I was on that scale wearing nothing but what I came into this world with to get my drift. And the next day, I was about 0.2 pounds over. I was like, oh, man. And the coach was like, all right, you know, go out running. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I don't want to go out running. And I was literally about to take a pair of that. I'm like, you know what? That's a big muscle. I feel I've got to weigh something. I was going to add it to give me an impromptu haircut in the dressing room to see if that would help me make weight. But I didn't. I went out running. Normally, you know, a good athlete runs a mile in what about? I mean, I'm not talking about sprinting a mile. I'm talking about a good pace.
7.5 to 8 minutes?
Yeah, 7 to 8.
I took me about a 30-minute mile.
Nice.
I was gone, man.
Gotta wear layers. Anyway, we're going to run down the UFC 142 card coming up next Saturday. And then we're going to sign off for the night, let everybody do their New Year's things, get back in shape like we're doing. And
that's right, man. Hey, I feel good. And every time I get mad, what I do is when I get mad at work, which is every day, you know, I come home and I just channel out that aggression, you know, because if I didn't, my head might explode.
Yeah, there's good release valves. That's why a lot of people like us end up boxing. Because without it, we'd be in jail.
Exactly. You and I'd be in the, you know, hey, well, what are you going to do? I beat the shit out of this guy. What do you do? We ran his mouth. Maybe you and he was talking shit again. You know, we're going to have an attitude problem.
I don't know. Maybe he's doing the same thing you're doing right now. That's what he did.
Yeah, exactly. You know, baby, you would give me any. You got a problem? You know, I mean, baby, you would kick his ass and I'll take yours too.
Yeah.
Fuck around. Not
being cooperative. Okay. Well, UFC 142 coming up next Saturday. We have main event Jose Aldo fighting Chad Mendes. Vitor Belfort fighting Anthony Johnson, Rumble Johnson, they call him. He was a former guest of ours. We had him on. Probably about a year ago now. We had Punch, Kapile, Thiago just fighting Sam Stout. Edson Barboza versus Terry Etchem. Eric Silva versus Carlo Prater. Michihiro Omagawa versus Yuri Alcantara. Gabriel turn back versus Edinaldo Oliveira. Sorry about you. I saw him at a Connecticut Twins. And it was just a big MMA card down there. And some kid actually pointed him out to me. He's like, yeah, that's Gabriel Gonzaga over there. And I go, get the hell out of here. And I walked up to him and I go, that kid over there thinks you're Gabriel Gonzaga. And he's like, I am. It was him. Not look very conspicuous in the crowd. Doesn't pop out. But it was him. And I interviewed him later on. Also on the card, Fabio Maldonado, Rayo Magalhães, Rusamar Palhares versus Mike Masenzio, and Felipe Arentes versus Antonio Carvalho. Next week, we're going to look to have at least a couple guests on for sure. I'll be on the ball. And we'll be back in action, maybe for a whole show for the new year, the first full show of the new year. But until then, thanks to our sponsors, Cocaine Energy Drink, drinkcocaine.com, ZionShop.com, check them out. Don't forget to check out FCFighter.com and check out that article that they did on me a few weeks ago, actually last week. Just got it done. It's on there, though. And RopeADoperadio.com too. They just hooked me up with a new gig, so I want to give a shout out to them. Article P coming up with their new boxing program, and got picked up by them. And they like my stuff, so I'm going to write some more for them. So you're going to see some more stuff going over there. And I'm going to try to interview more boxers on the show so I can get material for articles. Put two birds in one stone. That way the show will take.
Well, hey, that always works. You know, I'll never argue that.
Exactly. And so for everybody out there who's got a New Year's resolution to lose some weight off your fat ass, get going, it's time. And we're going to sign off and tell you to go do that. Stop listening to us. Put some music on. Burn some weight. I know I'm going to get up bright and early tomorrow and cut some logs here in New Hampshire before we get typhooned and snowed in. Which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, I know. You know, like tomorrow I'm going to relax a little bit. I'm not going to do too much. I did, you know, 4 straight hard days this week. Then I'll probably work that again on Saturday. Saturday will be more of a boxing day. and my dad's recovering from bronchitis right now, so he's still, you know, having a little bit of trouble, you know, breathing. But he wants to also get back down in the gym. He likes to hold the pads. Me and him, we always, you know, bust each other pretty good, you know. So we always laugh and, you know, give each other a hard time. And, you know, whenever I train, you know, and, you know, anybody, young guys, girls, older, you know, middle-aged people, whatever, you know, I'm a pretty good mitt man. You know, I don't say I'm the best, but I'm pretty good. You know, and I know the intricacies of boxing. I've been doing it 852 years. So, yeah, he's a pretty, but he ain't like the old man. He ain't got nothing on the old man. I'm like, I'll knock it off, Pop. I said, I'll hold mitts around your ass any day of the week. You know?
Since you flood the weather.
I'll run circles around you doing that shit. You ain't got nothing. I got knowledge.
See, Floyd and Roger, how they do it. They don't even talk to me.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on that. You know what?
Floyd's going to be doing it in prison now. He's going to have to...
Yeah, that's the truth, you know? But one of the things, you know, getting to talk to a lot of really respected boxing people, you know, not just fighters, but I really enjoy talking to a lot of the trainers like we do, especially guys like John Scully, who has an impressive track. I've been in the boxing for 52 years. Iceman's probably been in it since he got off the arc. but whenever we get to talk to a lot of these knowledgeable people that do some training and people that have been in the sport for a long time, you know, I always ask them what their opinions are on that type of network. And for the most part, you only have a very select handful of people that endorse that style. Because it's not realistic. I know Patrick McGallagher, when we talked to him, you know, he's actually trashed it. Iceman John Scully, you know, he's spoken negatively of it. And when it only works for certain guys. Now, imagine I'm training a guy like Mike Tyson. Would you have Mike Tyson doing that? Roger and Floyd Sr. would, because that's the only way they can train that shit. I mean, I remember when Floyd Sr. got Ricky Hatton a couple years ago, and Ricky Hatton, never a stylistic guy. He was just a mauler, brawler, you know, ugly, and he would fight you by smothering you, and just, you know, that was the only way he could really do it. And, you know, he tried to get him doing that pity pat and little tip-tap shit, and Ricky turned out to be, you know, a hell of a lot worse, and he ended his career unconscious on his back. Would he have done better against Pacquiao? I can't say that he would have, but he would have had a better chance trying to maul Pacquiao and just rough him up and use his physical strength in trying to stay on the outside and pity pat him. You know, the man, he'd come right in and smash him. It worked for a guy like Floyd Mayweather Jr. because he is so exceptionally fast and such great reflexes. I got style working for a lot of guys. And to try and train other guys like that, if they had Smoke and Joe Frazier or Rocky Marciano, they would try to train them how to box like that. Because I don't think they're, you know, and here's me ripping them again because I enjoy that, I don't think they're qualified to train any other kind of style.
Right. Well, that was quite the dissertation.
Yeah. Well, you know, once they get on those two, I can't stop it.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to have some guests next week. I'm going to have at least one boxing guest now, I think, forever, because it's good material. And Ropadope Radio is boxing, so you're in luck.
Nice.
And until next week, next Thursday night, we are going to sign out and say over and out for Thursday 5th, 2012. First full show of the year next week. Good night, folks.
All right. Well, hey, short and sweet, but to the point, ladies and gentlemen, have a happy new year. The tornado's happy to be back for 2012, and we'll be talking again soon.
All right.
thanks for stopping by.
All right.
Good night.